everyone, we are back. It's Curious Connection. I'm Joanne.
And I'm Megan. Mm-hmm. Welcome, everyone. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Oh, that's good.
Just good?
Just good.
I think there's a disposition of cheeriness because the weather is changing. Mm-hmm. I feel so silly to be like, let's talk about the weather. But actually, the weather is like kind of lovely.
Uh-huh.
And I can feel
so lovely. And there was some kind of, you know, very short period spring cold snap.
A little cold snap, but
but the beautiful,
and the cherry blossoms are coming out.
Yeah,
I didn't grow up with cherry blossoms.
You didn't grow up?
No, even though it's like similar-ish weather to Korea in some ways. It just gets a lot colder. So ever since I moved to Taiwan and here, and then I've been to Japan quite a bit, I notice that there are a lot more flowering trees than where I'm from. Where I'm from, there aren't a ton of flowering trees. Beautiful, like maple and ash trees, like in the in the autumn, but not a ton of flowering trees.
And then there is, in you know, the forsythia. You know, forsythia. You know, the yellow, the at in the spring.
Oh yeah, I didn't grow up with that either.
Oh.
I know. So it's been kind of like a beautiful thing to experience the different flowers on the tree. Because there's also the big white ones here. I don't know what they are, but they smell good and they're just huge. And some, there's the one that also, like, when it falls, it has like a big bulb and it can hurt. And like you just hear like a clunk and watch out for your head.
The early spring, they got some blossoms.
Yeah, so I it's nice. I think a lovely time of year, and as you're, as we're coming out of a wintering, I think that it's, the sun just like energizes you and the weather starts energizing. And maybe within my personal seasons within my body, like it aligns quite well with springtime. Like things really pick up in my life in spring. So I'm liking it. Yeah, I don't know. It's nice. Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. And enjoy it with friends, which is what we're talking about today. Yeah, is
that's the topic.
Yeah. And now that the weather's getting better, I bring that up too, because like, what do we want to do when we hang out with friends, lovers, anything, is let's get outside a little bit. At this time of year is such a good time to be outside and hanging out with people and with ourselves. So friendship, though, is our topic today.
And then I think that, you know, that that kinds of friendship changes as we age.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like for me specifically, as I've gone to different countries, like different culturally and like, and language wise, like how that's informed each culture and how different cultures make friends, how we do then as we age, as you said, and as our world continues to progress. I think it's such an interesting topic, because we're also sitting here having made this out of like a curiosity of each other toward friendship. So let's talk about friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah.
So important for all my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need friends.
We do. I think there's such an important, like there's a pressure of the importance of romantic relationships, which I think does a disservice to the, as you just said, importance of friendship.
Yeah. So important.
So important. Yeah.
So without them, I feel so lonely. Yeah. I cannot guess that kind of lonely life. Oh, hate.
Yeah, right? I just think friendship's so important, because it's that, it's a different kind of intimacy than families normally have. It's a different kind of intimacy to romantic lovers, because I mean, I've been sexual with some of my friends and then like we've had a period of sexual times and then like you're friends again. But above all, there's like a it's just a different type of love and care that you have with a friend. And it, I think it can be quite romantic. Like there's some, especially like with my queer friends and with my female or female presenting friends, that it's a different kind of love and affection I get. And I think it's so important, and friendship's really important to me. I've talked a bit about my family history, so friendships are really important to me.
Yeah, so think back to my childhood. And then, you know, at that time when I was so young, I was so playful and energetic. How about you?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, it'd be sad if a child wasn't playful and energetic. I think I've always been a very like introspective kid in some ways. Like I always felt like I didn't belong since I was born. I think I came out of the womb feeling like I didn't belong. And but as any kid, yes, played around, rub dirt in my knees if I scrape them up. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. So I always went outside, and then you know the running around here and there, and in a group. And in winter, I remember sometimes splitting into teams, and then you know play fighting with the guys, boys.
Yeah, exactly, boys.
And then you know who can throw those. The stone father.
Stones? Yeah. I threw snowballs.
Snowballs?
Oh, yeah. Snowball fight.
For me, stone.
Yeah. Why stone?
Are heavier. You, are you... I'm strong.
I mean, I mean, we threw stones, but we were always like... Because like snowball fights were a thing. And one of my, actually now, I'm, oh my God, my grandfather actually had a glass eye. I always knew him with a glass eye because a person threw a snowball at him, but it had ice in it and it hit him in the eye and he lost an eye. like, so I only had, my grandfather, I only knew him with a glass eye, a fake eye. So yes, stones are heavier, but be careful with snow. There might be ice in it and you can knock out someone's eye.
Yeah, and then who can break the ice and make a better weapon, you know? Did you make a weapon with the, you know,
icicles?
Yeah, broken ice.
Yeah, but like, be careful.
Yeah, should be careful because it is so sharp and then heavy.
Yeah.
And then can be dangerous. But we did.
Oh, of course we did it too.
I did.
I did it too. We would also do things like, so at the house I grew up in has like a, there are two small hills, and one hill goes to a retaining wall, and then there's like a drop into like the bit of little forest before the lake. Well, what we would do, because we're children and rambunctious, we would slide down that and try and get as much momentum so we could fly off of the retaining wall into the trees.
Into the trees.
Like, I mean, how dangerous is that? And we come out with like scrapes and like frostbite and blah, blah, blah. So we would do that. Or like we would do, we had this like playground, little like small eagle's nest type thing, or even a deck, and we would jump onto the trampoline.
Oh.
Like, we're talking like 3-4 meters, like.
Oh,
high. We're probably like 4 or 5. Like, like high in the air.
Isn't it scary?
Yes, but you do it anyway. We were rambunctious. Like, I grew up with a mom who grew up on a farm. And so they would like run on rafters and like jump from silo to silo. Like, we were told to be athletic and like dangerous in some ways. Like, for all like the critiques I have of my upbringing, one thing was like learning to trust our bodies athletically. I come from quite athletic genes, and so, or that's how my body is. But we were just very encouraged to like try to do things with our body. So yes, if you're saying we're, yeah, I was more playful than not. I was also seen as, I was like a tomboy in a lot of ways.
Tomboy.
I was I was very athletic. I liked to run around with the boys. Like, that's what I did. I grew up with a lot of male cousins and brothers. So
yeah, it was great tomboy. And then, you know, I did who can run faster. So I always running.
I mean, hey, that's amazing. Okay, because you grew up in the city. I grew up in the countryside.
Only in Seoul.
So yeah, where would you run?
I run all alleys.
Okay, so you ran like in the streets.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so different from where I ran.
Oh, really?
I ran in the grass.
You ran where?
The grass, the
grass.
Field. The field. We had to worry about ticks a lot. So like, you come in after like playing all day outside, get naked, and let's look and make sure you don't have ticks on your body.
Oh, then you're you know, the atmosphere, your condition was much better than mine.
No, but I don't think it's better. It's just different. Like, I maybe, yes, I got the privilege of being in nature. But like, also kind of like the badassness of like running in alleys is kind of, and you fall on concrete. Ouch.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes
so that's
concrete.
Very, that's very tough.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I think
that's
it's just different upbringing.
Sometimes it hurt.
Yeah. I got to fall on dirt. Like, that's not as bad.
But that is better.
Exactly. It's better. So like there's a toughness that you get by growing up in a city and learning to have fun. I had open fields. Of course you can have fun in an open field. You made your fun in a city. I think that's special too. Like, it's just different. Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, who can carry their heavier rock?
What? caught you in rocks.
So, you know, even though they're bigger than mine, you can carry them. I tried to, but I didn't. I couldn't.
Oh my God. Speaking of rocks, so I always had to have jobs in the summer, usually. Like, I my first ever, besides babysitting, I was, like, in a bakery working. But, like, I always wanted to do what the boys were doing, which was I had aunts and uncles who would pay my brothers and cousins to go pick rock. Yeah, so farmers, you know, you need to till earth that doesn't have rock in it. Uh-huh. And so, like, we're talking big rocks. Mm-hmm. Just because I was a girl, I wasn't allowed to. Uh-huh. Because, like, you're not strong enough. I'm like, but I am. Uh-huh. I am really strong. I can do, but they never paid me to pick their rock.
Oh,
that sounds so horrible. Like, let me pick your rock. But yeah, okay, so we were both very rambunctious children. And what I think of, though, when... if we're like, how did we make friends? Like, I think what children have is an advantage, right? Mm-hmm. You go and you play and you just make friends. Like, I remember my little brother being really good at making friends. He's like, hi, this is my best friend. It's like, you just met that boy. I was more reserved, right? So I also think culturally we had a difference, because I know here, and please correct me, I don't want to speak for your culture, but what my understanding is, everyone born in your birth year is now called Chingu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which kind of is like almost forcibly, like, because that also dictates the language you used with people. Anyone older, you had different formalities. Anyone younger, also different. They had formalities too. But everyone born your year is therefore friend.
Yeah.
So how did that, like, influence how you made friends and who you ran around with, how you played with people? Like, how did that influence you?
So I remember from my saying my remembrance of my childhood. And then when I came back home, I always play around with my, you know, neighborhood. So at that time, my friend was my neighborhood kids. And then, you know, that means that the closeness and the distant, not distant people is the first key point to make a friend.
So proximity, they lived next to you, they were your
proximity
neighbors.
Was the very important thing.
Okay. But when you went to school, though, everyone's Chingu, like in your birth year, like in your school, like
burn year.
So how did that, like, influence your mentality around making friends, though? Because I had it different. We don't have that.
You don't have that?
No. Also, because, like, when does the school year start here? What month?
March.
Us, August, September. So my grade were the people born in my birth year, but also from like either like
a little different.
August to May the next year. So it's always two different years. Like, someone could be born in June in my birth year. But then we're going to be in different grades. If their parents put them in the year above, then they're a grade older than me, a year older than me. If they put them in my year, then we're the same age. So it was very, very different. Yeah. Yeah. And Americans use friend really liberally in a lot of ways. And so it's like they're your friend. But there also were times of, like, just because they're in my grade doesn't mean we're friends. Like, we're not friends. Because we also don't have the formality of language. Like, Korea does. I don't have to call someone like older sister, older brother, like older friend, older this. Like, we don't have that. Yeah.
And then to remember my student's life, then, you know, I a little bit changed my mind. Maybe. Yeah. I didn't mean that intentionally.
But you... Life has us change our minds. Life always changes. Oh my gosh, experience what we experience and we think and we adjust. Oh my God.
Yeah. And then from the college student, I'm always looking for someone who could speak the same language. I remember.
Like, metaphorically.
Yeah.
Like, because you're all speaking Korean. But but I know what you mean. Like, someone who sees eye to eye with me and, like, I feel this resonance with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I always looking for someone who think in the same way. And then, you know, who just is a kind of arrogant thing. But I remember I was looking for someone who is so intelligent, I think.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not, I don't think that's, maybe if, depends on how you're going about it. Sure, that could be arrogant, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's inherently arrogant to want a it certain really intellectual. I think it depends on how you're going about it. If you're going mm-hmm. about it as like, you are not valuable and you are not worth my time if mm-hmm. you're not smart. Mm-hmm. But smart in the way I think is smart. Mm-hmm. Like, because I also think like some people who just put their smart forward, mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, you're one of the dumbest people I know. Mm-hmm. So if you're going about it that way, sure, that's arrogant. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, hey, I value this kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. I still can have conversations and like a type of friendship with other mm-hmm. people. But like, if I want to get close with someone, I value this. I think mm-hmm. that's, there's a fine line, mm-hmm. I think.
And then I think that I remember, you know, I always try to take some kind of very deep conversation of a metaphysical thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then I put this kind of thing so important to me.
Yeah.
I thought that mm-hmm. at that time. And then, you know, I want someone who can speak with this kind of thinking way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then who can communicate with these topics. And then who are so interested in this kind of things like me. So now I think that that is so arrogant thing.
I mean, like I said, depends on how you go about it. But mm-hmm. like I guess, and I think it's good to look back and say, okay, how can I, as we said, we experience new things. And so we evolve, and looking mm-hmm. back and saying, okay, maybe my younger self had that thing about them. I guess I don't want to shame my younger self. Mm-hmm. She did what she did to survive and what she thought she had to do. But we also can be like, okay, girl, let's calm down. And like, maybe how we were going about that in our eyes was a bit arrogant, and mm-hmm. we can adjust how we go about friendship mm-hmm. now in our lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just don't want to shame. I'm not going to put shame on young Joanne. You can, but I don't encourage it.
Yeah. So I just want to, feel some shameful about my
and here I'm going, don't feel
bit,
shame
a little bit. and then after that, you know, so now,
yeah,
now I think that I'm a little bit older than you.
Tiny bit
Now I changed a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I like and I need someone who can share my daily life with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, chat together like you.
Hi.
And then someone who makes me smile so often with small things is so important to me now. And then small talks helps me relieve stress. And then, you know, sharing my daily life gives me everyday wisdom and everyday happiness, there you I think. Go. So small, how can I say, small relationship?
Are you talking about surface relationship?
Uh-huh, surface?
Because I don't think we have a surface relationship. Oh. I think we can talk about more surface mm-hmm. things, but I think innately, you even said it today, you said, I don't think you can have just shallow conversation. And I can't. Like, I think I can do it, but I can't engage further with someone if I only have that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with some surface things, but even my surface is a little deeper.
Yeah. So deep. Yours.
I don't mean to. It's just how my brain works, and I'm not going to shame my brain for being that way just to fit in.
Now I just a little bit understand your thinking way.
Yeah.
And then you're so, how can I say? So anyway, it's this person. Decent person.
You know, I have a depth to me that I understand most people mm-hmm. may not feel comfortable with. I've accepted that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You experienced that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I've mentioned it here or elsewhere before that a lot of people connect with me. Mm-hmm. I don't always feel that connection in return.
Oh.
And I've learned that I have to accept that. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I feel like I came out of the womb mm-hmm. not feeling like I belonged. Like, really, I always just, like, knew.
So, where do you come from?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Another cosmos. Like, I have...
Another cosmos.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare I just am, like, plopped uh-huh. here. But I always felt a lack of belonging. Uh-huh. And sure, part of that can be if you're raised in an environment where mm-hmm. it doesn't resonate with your innate being. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's manifold. We can talk about the metaphysical and be like, mm-hmm. well, maybe I am just kind of, like, plopped into this in order to do a thing mm-hmm. in an environment that was not conducive for the fullness of my expression, but the lack of belonging meant I needed to go. Mm-hmm. And I luckily followed that and I have left. But like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was bullied a lot. Yeah, I was bullied a lot. And so mm-hmm. like that also kind of diminished some expression. I also was like, even by my own family, being told that like who I am is not enough and I need to be different. And so that like, I guess when I think of friendship in that way, right, it, mm-hmm. it made me very hesitant because I also knew, like I said, this depth that I have, like I mm-hmm. only have so much capacity for things. Like I thrive when I create and mm-hmm. connect to creation, which requires a lot of alone time mm-hmm. for me and to explore the world in that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel so deeply, I'm very sensitive. And so that means I only have so much time, space, and attention. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my life, I hid that because that harmed me. Mm-hmm. Like to be that sensitive, to be artist, to explore the world in that depth mm-hmm. wasn't safe. So I learned early on to hide that away. And mm-hmm. I've realized throughout my years as I then get to adulthood, mm-hmm. how harmful that was to my body even, mm-hmm. and how much tension I've been holding and like holding back from being who I am, but it's because I didn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So I accepted a long time ago mm-hmm. that like, I'm going to have to fulfill that friendship in myself mm-hmm. and be my own friend to give myself that depth. And there are some people I connect with on that deep level throughout mm-hmm. my journey. And I've also just been okay to learn that like the depth of friendship, like when I was in high school, I'm like, I feel like I have the capacity for one best friend. But as I've gotten older, I was like, that's a lot of pressure to put on someone, because even a lover, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't want someone to be my everything. So I also started getting informed of friendship when I learned German, because mm-hmm. they're very okay mm-hmm. with not calling someone friend. Mm-hmm. It's you are my acquaintance. You are my...
How come?
I think it's just linguistically, I think mm-hmm. within and culturally, there's mm-hmm. like boundaries within German. They're very particular about them. I think it's just how they're like culturally it works. And so boundaries wise, mm-hmm. like I learned that I don't have to call each new person I meet a friend. Mm-hmm. They can be an acquaintance mm-hmm. or if I'm living with them, they can be my roommate. I can live with them for 10 years. They can still just be my roommate. Mm-hmm. Right. But in English, you're almost required in some ways, at least American English, to call people friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of
even Americans like colleague.
Dude.
I literally could like have a colleague uh-huh. and unless you're in corporate America, that's a little bit more okay because mm-hmm. it's like business. But like mm-hmm. in German, you can say like colleague, which is kind of like acquaintance. Mm-hmm. So there's word like a kollega. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of maybe if it's another artist, I could just literally call them a colleague mm-hmm. or like a bekannte. Mm-hmm. So like that's acquaintance. Mm-hmm. My Mitbewohner, mm-hmm. that's someone I live with. Ein Freund von mir, like a friend of mine. So it's just how you say it's even because it even goes deeper in like mm-hmm. do I like something or not like something mm-hmm. in American English oftentimes not all the time we'll say I love it mm-hmm. in German it's like I like it very much mm-hmm. I kind of like it mm-hmm. it's okay it's more mm-hmm. it's maybe changing now but at mm-hmm. least when I was learning it was a nice way for me to start forming boundaries
mm-hmm. I think that you know is it okay if I express it a little bit stingy?
Go for it. Go for
then
it.
Then why do they, you know, the saving their, you know, polite words to call the someone who they know each other just calling acquaintance, not
I mean,
friend.
Yeah, sometimes it's rude mm-hmm. or it feels rude. Mm-hmm. But I also think like it can be, as you said, stingy. And so there mm-hmm. are moments where it's like, oh, I've known you for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But also... I think it's that balance of like, yes, I'm not responsible for the way you feel, mm-hmm. but I also, you know, can care enough to like make concessions to have you feel good with my actions. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I also think only having a society that like where you have to give of yourself. I think mm-hmm. especially as women, like feeling like I need to smile at every man specifically because like I owe him my smile. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be a human going through a time and, mm-hmm. and have a feeling. Mm-hmm. Also the, so something that I've often been harmed for is I think a strength of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I've come to know it as a strength. I think our world, which is this depth we're talking about, this depth of like vulnerability mm-hmm. that I think a lot of people don't have. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I find if I can connect on that level of vulnerability with people, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which a lot of people I think feel from me. I mean, how many secrets I know about people because they just like feel comfortable talking to me because I want to see people. I've felt unseen mm-hmm. and underappreciated my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more keen to give that to people. Mm-hmm. I've also learned that vulnerability is terrifying for most people. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I don't find it stingy to be like, I feel like I can fully engage in vulnerability with someone. Mm-hmm. But also if someone doesn't see me as a friend, I can maybe talk to them about it and be like, mm-hmm. that kind of hurts my feelings. But they're not, if that's their line, that's their line. So I think it's a fine balance about like, mm-hmm. I don't need to call you friend to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. But also, if I am being stingy, I maybe should call you friend mm-hmm. to make mm-hmm. you feel good. Because I think that shows care. So it's like that kind of dance of, mm-hmm. am I actually kind of being a jackass mm-hmm. and holding back mm-hmm. friendship almost in a controlling way? But mm-hmm. like, I want your love in return. Mm-hmm. I think one-sided friendship is also heartbreaking mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. needed. And that's mm-hmm. where, you know, so it's that like, I don't know. I think like if we're talking about mm-hmm. where we're at now, mm-hmm. that's been mine because I've given a lot. Mm-hmm. I learned German in my early 20s, so we're talking university age. Mm-hmm. That started to have me shift a little bit, but I also was raised to be a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And that isn't great for friendship either. And I felt like I had to like prove of myself to be seen as a valid human in mm-hmm. someone's life mm-hmm. instead of being like, wait, I'm lovely. Just mm-hmm. me. Is mm-hmm. it's okay to just be me mm-hmm. and I don't have to be friends with everyone. Mm-hmm. They also don't have to be, not everyone's going to like me. Mm-hmm. I learned that early on with the art I make. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Now I'm like, I don't know. Friendship, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. a variety of friendship is great or acquaintanceship or like a mm-hmm. Community is mm-hmm. lovely. Mm-hmm. But if I want like a close friend, mm-hmm. Yeah, I desire to be desired because I haven't always felt desired in like my vulnerability mm-hmm. my whole life. Yeah,
and then I think that you know, I a little understandable or became understandable about you.
Yeah,
you are so sensitive and then you're sensible also, and then But don't you think that a little one thing? Mm. Don't you think that you know you are became a little bit generous to call friends who knows a little bit you?
Sometimes, like I think it depends on which language I'm speaking, mm-hmm. and it also how solid I'm feeling in myself at the minute. Because I've had to unlearn mm-hmm. some of that generosity. I love being a generous person, but if it comes at the cost of me like over giving mm-hmm. and because like I said, people connect with me and like literally I go away from some interactions and people are like, I'm in love with you. I'm like, you're not. Mm-hmm. You just are loving the way I'm making you feel because you probably haven't felt that mm-hmm. ever. You mm-hmm. probably haven't had someone be like, I am validating your literal just existence mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you the time and attention and I will look you in the eye. I will mm-hmm. help you. Like I will just feel mm-hmm. an excitement. Like also creation is a sexy, loving, mm-hmm. like it's a good time mm-hmm. and I exude that. Mm-hmm. And so people feel seen. They feel like, wow, oh my God. And I'm like, great. I just don't always get it in return. Mm-hmm. And so in order, and it's a beauty I give. I'm mm-hmm. artist in that way. And that's a something I've had to learn is a beautiful thing about me, or at least just like, wow, I see this about me and I accept it. I love it about me now. Mm-hmm. I used to hate it because it hurt me for so long because people harmed me for it or they wanted to steal it and mm-hmm. take it and or they saw it and they tried to tear me down mm-hmm. into being like less than and like dimming mm-hmm. my shine. Like how often I was harmed for it growing mm-hmm. up and also in my early adulthood. Now I've learned enough and get to stop myself and be like, That's a them thing. That's mm-hmm. their jealousy. That's them feeling like I need to tear this woman down and make her feel less than so that mm-hmm. I feel, or they want to like capture it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can have the power of just removing myself. And mm-hmm. I think that's okay. And I can give it to myself, this friendship of self, mm-hmm. so that I have, because I want to give. Mm-hmm. So why not save that for the people who I resonate with? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's inherently selfish to be like, I'm only one person. I only can give so much, even if my gift to the world is this creation and depth. Mm-hmm. And so I give that through my art. Mm-hmm. That means I need to spend time with myself to make art and be in fulfilling relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can I care more and bring depth? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, you know, it's just a private question.
I love and how then, we say private opinion and we're and literally recording.
And then I want to know about that, you know, that for Germany people. Germans.
I am quite uh-huh. removed from it, so I only can speak from where I knew it. Last time mm-hmm. I was in Switzerland was 2023, mm-hmm. And before that was like 2018. So, I mean, I'm still quite removed from it, but I'll answer as best I can from my mm-hmm. experience. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm not German.
That for German.
Yeah.
And then they have some kind of very, you know, strict definition about that, you know, the friendship. Word friend.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, what is that line, the rough line about that?
I think it just depends from person to person.
True friend.
I think it's person to person. Uh-huh, just like here. Person. Just like mm-hmm. here. Like, mm-hmm. what do you, like, Joanne, what do mm-hmm. you define as friend? Like, who do you give that title to?
Friend? My yeah. friend is just, you know, I can talk to him every day whenever I want. And then, you know, he can listen to my words mm. and then listen to my, you know, the blaming or some kind of bad words, yeah. even though bad words. And then, you know, he or she can give me some kind of encouragement. And then, you know, he always take my side, yeah. I hope.
To feel, you know, validated in our experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Validating we need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always need some kind of validating myself.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's especially important given the life you've lived as like housewife, which mm-hmm. when you became housewife was a really demanding time for mm-hmm. a woman. Mm-hmm. Even now a little bit still in Korean culture and around the world of mm-hmm. like you have to give of yourself and you have to be silent in a lot of ways. And so I think it's really important for you to be validated in like mm-hmm. and even just as humans, we need to feel heard and we need to like let it out sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then that would make us not friends in your definition of friendship.
Really? Why?
Well, because we don't talk every day. You know?
I don't mean that every day, even though, you know, exception. Yeah. I mean that, you know, every day it means the small thing, not so big
like
secret.
An everyday. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I feel like we're friends. Mm-hmm. I think...
Me too.
Because, like, culturally and maybe mm-hmm. generation-wise, like, sometimes there's a hesitance mm-hmm. In some ways. Also, my depth isn't... It's a lot, and I know that. And it's a lot for me, too. Like, mm-hmm. do I feel safe? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's, I think, both ways. Like, it can be a lot to experience mm-hmm. From your boundaries, but also my boundaries of can I give that? Mm-hmm. So I can see that. But what I do feel from you is that there is this willingness to get to know each other mm-hmm. and willingness to be like, hey, we might not see eye to eye on everything, mm-hmm. but we're at least willing to be friends. Like, mm-hmm. we're at least willing to get to know each other and, mm-hmm. like, hear each other. And maybe we'll disagree sometimes, but that's mm-hmm. also okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, sometimes you see eye to eye and then some butt heads over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because I think something I've been learning a lot, especially mm-hmm. as like someone who's navigated as woman mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. Because of my life, I've been very like pushed into very sometimes almost aggressive having to like survive, right? Mm-hmm. And very like alone, and so like that kind of pushed me in certain ways mm-hmm. and especially like with this depth that I have and this creation that I have, it's or that I'm like given, there's this feeling of how do I say it? Like, I've had to almost defend it, which is an aggressive, like, mm-hmm. So the more I like accept that about myself and like find the strength in that, and mm-hmm. it allows me now to, like, as I'm thinking of friendship, mm-hmm. it's the balance of, because I can be very challenging. Artists show people their sins. We show the beauty of life, but we also show people our sins. And so I know I bring that to a relationship. Mm-hmm. But I also know there's a huge validity of, like, do you just need me to hear you right now? And do you just need to be validated and witnessed and seen? Mm-hmm. And having that emotional capacity to offer that to a friendship. Mm-hmm. And then maybe later we can talk about, like, hey, but let's maybe talk about how do we sort through this. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, I want to be able to tell my daily life and, like, maybe have a whinge about something, like have a little bit of a, I'm so frustrated. And then, okay, let's not sit in it forever, but also can I sit in it briefly because I'm human? Like, and I think offering friends that balance is mm-hmm. nice. Like, I've even asked people, like, do you want me to hear you right now? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to talk about a solution? Or do you just need to be heard? Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. And as I've learned to accept more of what I have friendship-wise and energetic-wise and creation-wise, mm-hmm. and validating that within myself and accepting it, mm-hmm. the more I can, like, navigate it and, like, hopefully give it to which capacity do I give to a person in front of me. And also mm-hmm. know each friend mm-hmm. requires something different.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that, you know, it's just about from my experiences.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for me, I have some kind of very good solution from when I talking something to someone.
Mm.
So when I talk to something about, especially about some issues or about some problems or some matters, then I can find that solution way for myself. By myself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When I talk to someone about it. And so I think that, you know.
Oh, I get what you mean. Where it's like, because I got to talk to you about it and you were generous enough to hear me.
Uh-huh.
I now, by getting it out, have space to figure it out for myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps if someone helps us mm-hmm. a little bit or, like, says, mm-hmm. hey, have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. But sometimes just by getting it out, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, now I know what to do.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I just someone to listen to my saying mm. and then just to give me just a little bit of encouragement.
Yeah.
And then just to some time to very peaceful and then very happy time to listening me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I need that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't need his or her good solution way.
Yeah.
I just their time, their very generous time to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I want to share the kinds of relationship each other. And then I want to be the kinds of person to give my own time to them.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I mean, there are moments where it's nice to be like, hey, let's, like, think about this more. But there's always a time and place for that. And I think mm-hmm. Giving people time to feel seen and witnessed and just simply heard mm-hmm. Is very valuable, especially as you're saying that's what you need. Mm-hmm. Which I think then adjusting it for your different friends, where knowing this about you, mm-hmm. It's okay, you just need me to hear you. Mm-hmm. And I think we can adjust ourselves, I think, to accommodate our friendships, mm-hmm. I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I am curious about this because mm-hmm. I think it's known mm-hmm. that you have a more girth to your family system than I do, let's say. You have the privilege of mm-hmm. Immediate family and mm-hmm. then your family that you grew up with, so extended family. Mm-hmm. And I've made the choice to leave my system mm-hmm. and pursue elsewhere, mm-hmm. which I know in my experience has adjusted. And it's ebbed and flowed throughout my life as I learn more about myself and come more into my own energy. Mm-hmm. But that's adjusted how I view friendship mm-hmm. and how important friendship is to me, because mm-hmm. I also very much challenge, like, why do we need to uphold the nuclear family, and why is it that I will find community if I have a partner? Like, why can't I have that with friends? Mm-hmm. So for you, with the girth of family. So that's such a weird thing to say. But because of that, like, mm-hmm. does that have you navigating friendship differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know exactly, but, you know, I think that I'm always, I always want to, give some background or some atmosphere,
yeah.
To keep their own colors.
Okay. Uh-huh. Like a person,
yeah,
as
a person,
their color. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, everyone has their own colors. Mm. We ourselves, I don't want to interrupt their colors to be changed from my forcing.
Oh,
something.
You, okay. Uh-huh. So you don't want to force someone to receive your mm-hmm. color.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
From that perspective, I don't know. This is kind of a discrepancy or not? When I make some friends, I always try to do this kind of way of thinking, and then, you know, give a chance to be themselves when be my friend, and then want to make some kind of keep their own color. And so I don't want them to be interrupted by me, by my own coloring or own my comments or own my things. I don't want.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So but you know, if he changed from our relationship, then it is his choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So from the analogy, which I really love the color analogy, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, when people don't owe us anything technically,
mm-hmm.
Like, so that's like their vibrant, flowing, beautiful color and that vibrancy. And at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I also think, like, if you want to be in relationship with people, I think we owe each other vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sense of like I said earlier, if I know a friend needs something, or like or I'll use this example, like say a friend of mine is really sensitive and mm-hmm. would benefit from me delivering news in a certain way
mm-hmm.
because of their sensitivity, because I see that in them. But my behavior is like I'm normally more blunt and like, ah, let's use big words that like really extreme words to like say a thing because I can be dramatic and that's mm-hmm. who I am. But if I know that this friend would benefit from a little softer mm-hmm. approach, I would do, if I want to be in relationship with them, mm-hmm. I would adjust myself. And I find that, like, people might call it, oh, you don't owe someone anything. It's like, mm-hmm. well, I don't, but if we want community, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, why I like your color analogy is, yes, someone is a beautiful color and I mm-hmm. can't force them to give me their color or mm-hmm. Take my color. I can't mm-hmm. That's not how, forcing friendship.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Maybe as children mm-hmm. we're more fluid in our color and still mm-hmm. learning. And so mm-hmm. therefore it can be more fluid. But mm-hmm. I also think a friendship is like, we can mix our colors and like make another color
mm-hmm.
and to then have like this beautiful rainbow of colors is mm-hmm. great.
Mm-hmm.
I also think our world is scared of vulnerability. And I think mm-hmm. why some of these sentiments and within the certain systems in our world have made it very individualistic. And mm-hmm. so we come at it with like I'm staunchly myself and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of that comes from a fear of the power of vulnerability
mm-hmm.
because I guess I've felt this a lot where I feel taken from a lot
mm-hmm.
instead of like, well, I will give, but, and I don't want it to be completely, you know, reciprocal, all that, but also mm-hmm. like, yeah, I can't just keep giving.
Mm-hmm.
I need time to enrich my own color,
mm-hmm.
but I also want to give some of that color, but I'm not going to give it to someone who only either wants to take
mm-hmm.
or isn't willing to like mix with me. Like mm-hmm. then I can only have a certain kind of relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know that, like I said, I've come to accept that
mm-hmm.
maybe I don't always get that depth until now, because that's fine. Because I also don't have the, because I think some of it too, if I don't want to disturb their color, I don't want to disturb these things. Mm-hmm. When you have the background of family, mm-hmm. it's like, well, I get to go back to family. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I don't have that luxury.
Mm.
You know, I don't have that like palette mm-hmm. that I get to go live in. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to provide that for myself. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's beautiful. Like
you
I said,
say that.
Well, I chose it for myself because mm-hmm. it was safer for me mm-hmm. to build my own palette instead mm-hmm. of feeling like I can feel warmth and seen and my color is vibrant in the one I was given. Mm-hmm. So I've had to make my own in order to see the validity of my palette and mm-hmm. my beauty and my color.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why friendship is quite, I question it a lot, and it helps that I have art. I can navigate it through that mm-hmm. of like, huh, let's question these institutions of the nuclear family. Let's question
mm-hmm.
why is it more valid for me to find community in a partner, mm-hmm. especially if it has to be a heteronormative partnership. But what about like, what if I find beauty in my friends? And mm-hmm. Yeah, I can feel the dangers of like, because I don't want to cling and mm-hmm. like say, hi, I need love and blah, give it to me. But because that's forcing.
Mm-hmm.
But also I find our world very scared of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a great trend to continue.
Oh. And I don't know exactly, you know, but, you know, I've learned something from that. My attitude toward my friends and then my family members also.
Mm.
And then, you know, when I give some kind of energy to them to be themselves, rear themselves, and then they show out. Mm, yeah, what is the correct?
All of it.
All of it.
They get to exude that.
Yeah,
they get
that's
to exude
right.
themselves. That's beautiful.
What I mean. That's what yeah. I mean. That their own colors show me.
Yeah.
And then it's so beautiful.
It is, right? Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's so different from my own expectation.
Mm.
It's so shocking
yeah.
to find out. But, you know, it's so beautiful. And yeah. then I've learned, there is absolutely something that I've learned.
Mm.
And then, you know, sometimes, you know, they can give a very fantastic color I've never seen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're describing is exactly why we have our podcast, The Name It's Named.
Oh, really?
Because that's curiosity.
Ah, curiosity.
Right? Because uh-huh. you're not, you may have had an expectation, but you're mm-hmm. curious enough to
mm-hmm.
see what color they produce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know out of like protection sometimes, especially given the harm I had, I mm-hmm. sometimes would be very like hesitant to, mm-hmm. which also shows my fear of vulnerability toward people or fear of like being seen. Because my color, I was caged a lot and mm-hmm. restricted a lot. And so my color wasn't able to shine. And mm-hmm. my color was always judged. And so I've always been like very hesitant,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, toward like, oh, someone kind of crosses a boundary where I feel like I'm going to be in danger of like being mm-hmm. seen because that wasn't safe. Mm-hmm. I can like cut that off. And what I've been learning is exactly what you're saying of like, okay, now that I have that more of a strength in me,
mm-hmm.
I love curiosity. I think the best way you can love someone is to be curious about them. As you said, mm-hmm. like, I might get to be surprised mm-hmm. at the color they show me. Mm-hmm. Like, how beautiful is that to approach a relationship and like, I'm going to witness you mm-hmm. and let you evolve and grow and be,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do the same. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we nurture each other to feel safe enough to show the beauty of our color?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes not the beauty, but like, that's mm-hmm. also human.
Of course. So, you know, we cannot judge that this line is the standard of the beauty. We cannot.
Mm.
And then, you know, even though it's a kind of ugly thing, that can be beauty.
Literally,
why
is my whole artist statement turning mm-hmm. the ugly into something beautiful? Ugly mm-hmm. is in quotes because sometimes the things people think are ugly aren't actually
mm-hmm.
ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like turning it into something beautiful, which is literally mm-hmm. just a new perspective
mm-hmm.
on the ugly, or transmuting the ugly into something mm-hmm. beautiful, because mm-hmm. there was a part of that mm-hmm. ugly, quote mm-hmm. unquote,
mm-hmm.
that actually has beauty in it. So let's dust it off and let's see that for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, curiosity,
mm-hmm.
I think, is a really beautiful thing. And we have different experiences within friendship. You, we also have different years of experience within it. But I guess I feel grateful that we can meet each other within this curiosity of each other, which is nice.
Yeah. And then it is so sure that you have some very great thing and a lot of thing that, that you know, does stimulate me to feel that curious from you. It is correct. It is sure.
Yeah. And I know, because I also know we don't agree on everything. Because I also think it's okay, like, hi, I don't, this color that wants me to mix with it or that I've been mixing with doesn't suit me anymore. Okay, but I also know I come from a very individualistic culture, and out of protection, I cut off a lot of friendship and like relationships just because I've been hurt a lot, Joanne, and I just needed that. But what I'm learning now is like, we don't, well, I mean, I've known this, but, you know, it's just I'm practicing it more, like, especially with, like, on the surface, we shouldn't get along, but we do, like, you and I. And even when we disagree, that I feel comfortable enough to be like, hey, I didn't like that. Or like, hey, that makes, I feel a little uncomfortable with that. But that's then up to me. As you said, it's up to the person. Then do you leave? Do you stay? Or do you mix colors a little differently? And I think, like, I don't know, the conversation we just had today, it's nice that it kind of is ending on this like curiosity. And I really like the color analogy that you you brought to the table. So thank you for that. That's beautiful. Really beautiful.
Yeah.
Curious connections.
It make a beautiful thing.
I think so. I really like that, especially that that's so warm of you, I think, to be like, I want to facilitate within my family members, within my friendships, of a nurturing, how can their color shine? I think that's beautiful.
That's too much.
Too much. What do you mean it's too much?
Too much, you know, than my my real thing, because you know, you said that it's so great thing to, a great thing of you to say so, you said to me.
I think it is great. Are you just hesitant to receive the compliment?
A little bit. She's not comfortable.
She's getting shy. We'll talk about that, but maybe off air. So,
Really?
Really, yeah. Thank you so much. Do you feel good enough in the conversation?
Yeah, enough.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
We've talked about it twice now on our the radio show we have. We talked about this. And I feel this went deeper and got to enrich it more. So thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Megan.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
See you next time, everyone. Okay. Bye.
Bye.